Welcome to Stout for Christ, a radio ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church in Parkersburg, West Virginia, with our host, Sarah Sisson.
I'm Sarah Sisson, host of Stout for Christ, and we're glad you're listening to our radio show today. Stout for Christ is a ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church located at 3329 Broad Street in Parkersburg, West Virginia. We invite you to become a member of our Stout Church family. We offer two worship services each Sunday, a contemporary worship service at 8:45 and a traditional worship just following this broadcast at 10:45. If you can't join us in person, our services are broadcast live on Facebook and YouTube. Stout for Christ is a ministry meant to help us navigate life and learn more about God's love for all people. Today our topic is clean versus unclean, and here to help us learn more about this subject is Pastor Helen Oates. Welcome, Helen.
Thank you, Sarah. And that may sound like a Mr. Clean commercial or something like that, but it was one of the pieces in which Jesus came into, you know, confrontation with the Pharisees and Sadducees all the time in terms of not following, not following the traditional law. It wasn't a law that was set forth in the scripture, in the Torah, but it was laws that they added to help explain what they thought the law in the Torah was. For instance, you know, the law of the Ten Commandments is keep the Sabbath. So that meant no work. And so, you know, they used all of these laws to try to define what was work. And so they would, you know, approach Jesus because the disciples would walk through a wheat field on the Sabbath and pluck the grains in order to eat the grains of wheat as they were walking. And they would say to Jesus, well, they're working when they're doing that. Or they would use the traditional laws around washing of hands. They challenged Jesus that the disciples didn't wash their hands. And I can't imagine them not washing their hands, but they didn't follow the traditional, again, not the written law in the Torah, but the tradition that developed out of what it meant to wash hands. That washing of hands wasn't just the palm and the fingers, but it was all the way up to the elbow. And when Jesus' disciples didn't do that, again, Jesus came under attack. So there was all these rules about what was clean and unclean. I mean, what kind of animals could be eaten, whether they were hooved or not hooved animals, and so Jesus, you know, finally one of the disciples had this image of God lowering down all of these kinds of animals, and in that vision he saw and heard God say, you know, what I have made, none of it is unclean. That these were just laws that were added to. In other words, they were man-made, human-made laws. And so Jesus was always at odds with the Pharisees because of those. And as I said, one of them was the issue of clean and unclean. What contaminates a person?
So why do you think they were so concerned about, especially the disciples, not following those traditional rules? Because I assume it wasn't all about, you know, just germs and things like dirt, but
well, it was, you know, it was a way in which they could say gotcha. You know, gotcha, that you're not you know, at least John the Baptist's disciples fasted, but your disciples aren't fasting. You know, gotcha, or got you because they plucked grains of wheat, or got you because they were with Jesus when he healed someone on the Sabbath. So it was always a way to get at undermining Jesus and his his charisma and the way in which people were drawn to him. These scribes and Pharisees were so jealous that they saw the crowds that were following Jesus, the crowds that would then be fed by Jesus, you know, in a miraculous way. They were concerned about their position and how the presence of Jesus was jeopardizing their position.
Kind of a holier-than-thou moment, if you may.
Exactly, exactly.
So what contaminates us? What makes us clean or unclean?
Well, you know, Jesus said to them in Matthew chapter 15, verse 16, "Don't you understand yet? Don't you know that everything that goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what goes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and that's what contaminates a person in God's sight. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adultery, sexual sins, thefts, false testimonies, and insults. These contaminate a person in God's sight, but eating without washing hands doesn't contaminate in God's sight." So, you know, we can talk about when you mentioned those who were holier than thou, and we have some of those folks today. and you know, part of what the checklist says, you know, if you don't drink, or if you don't smoke, if you don't go down the list, Jesus is saying, you know, it's not what we put in our mouths. It's not a glass of wine that's going to contaminate us. It's not, a bottle of beer. Because what we put in our mouths is going to eventually come out. But it's what we harbor in our heart. It's what we, in that fashion, then out of harboring jealousy or pride or envy or you know, just pure arrogance, that comes out. That comes out of our mouths. That comes out of the way in which we talk to another person. That comes out in the way in which we may only talk to certain higher echelon folks and not the poor. Those evil thoughts that come out is what Jesus says is what really contaminates us.
Absolutely. And you have a bit of a cup illustration, although I think we may have lost one this past Sunday.
Well, we did, but I had heard some years ago that a good illustration of this was to take a couple of teacups and put some tea leaves down in the bottom with a little bit of water, and it kind of makes a mushy look. So that on the outside, the cup looks as beautiful. My mother-in-law collected teacups, and she would go into antique stores and try to find that bone china and such. And they're beautiful, beautiful cups. Not used, but except by the kids when they were wanting to play. But they were beautiful cups that were richly painted and looked beautiful on the outside. But when you tip the cup, you could see the gunk in the bottom, see the mess that was there. And so use that as an illustration. You know, we can put on this act of being so holy. But when we get to the nitty-gritty of it, we find that we are not walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And that's one of the criticisms that our youth and young adults lift up about the established church, that we have folks who will talk the talk, but they won't walk the walk. At least they don't see that in the life of the church. And all you have to do is attend one of your church administrative meetings, and you begin to see how sin comes into play and brings people, you know, arguing with one another and all kinds of things, trying to say we can't touch this area because, you know, money was given to us by such and such that was 75 years ago or something. You know, it's just again, it's not walking the walk of Jesus. And that is one of the hurtful things. You know, we have hypocrites. We are hypocrites in our own time.
Well, and that's something that Jesus was particularly critical of, especially among religious leaders. So why do you think hypocrisy can be so damaging to people's view of God and the church itself?
Yeah, well, you know, we want models. You know, we want models, and they don't have to be, you know, goody two shoes, but we want models who are walking the walk. And when you're involved in a local church, you can begin to identify these models, these church leaders. But then when we find, I know it was my older brother's pet peeve in terms of why he dropped out of church, because his Sunday school teacher, who he really respected as a Sunday school teacher, was also the coach for the junior high track team. And as a coach, the words that came out of his mouth, the way in which he treated the boys, it was just atrocious. And my brother could not see those two images of this person who was supposed to have been such a good church person, and then just, yeah, told my parents he wasn't going anymore. So I think that's what, you know, that's what we see. We see the two images, and we can't gel them together. Though we know, you know, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the way that we look at our church leaders, we want to see some folks who model walking the Christian life. Whereas we also need to be able to be aware of the grace that Jesus gave to individuals. I mean, he welcomed tax collectors. He welcomed prostitutes. He welcomed all sorts of people to be able to fellowship with him. And he wants us to do the same among that in order to win someone to God. And we find that, yeah, we do get caught up in this piece of being a hypocrite. But when we strive to follow the steps of Jesus, I think that makes all the difference, because Jesus, as I said earlier, came in to be a king who says to people, we have to serve. We have to see all people. We have to be able to offer a cup of water to the one who's thirsty, or clothes to the one who needs clothes, shelter to those who don't have it. We need to be able to open our hearts to all people.
So something that's good segue into the Great Awakening is just how somebody did that.
Yeah, you know, it was, in fact, you, Sarah, and I both had an opportunity to see that movie, The Great Awakening, and it was around the character of Jonathan Edwards and the way in which he felt compelled to be, you know, he at first wanted to be an actor, where he could put on the costumes and the kind of memory or the lives of other people portray the lives of other people, but he became won over. His heart became strangely warmed in terms of wanting to then see that God not only could use his hands and his feet, but that God could use his voice to bring to new colonies a fresh awareness of God's grace and mercy in their lives, so that people would see a need to turn their lives around and give those lives to God. And it was, you know, Jonathan Edwards, you know, what we saw, one piece was he was in a church, and the old pastors who were there serving that church, you know, you could just kind of hear them droning on. And when they closed the Bible, all this dust that came out of the Bible because it had been so not used within the body of that church. But then when Jonathan Edwards got up to preach, how people began to hear that message of redemption, that message of God's forgiving work in their lives and needing to change their lives in order to model Jesus. And so, yeah, it was the first great awakening that occurred in the colonies. And it was a way for those, for the poor. He went into the fields. He went into the coal mines. He went to where people were and preached the good news. Even in Philadelphia, one of the segments that we saw, he was on a balcony there in Philadelphia and preaching to 30,000 people. And they said that everyone could hear him because of the way in which he used his voice that God had given him to be able to do that kind of preaching.
So the moral of this story of clean versus unclean is that it's about your character and how that matters.
It is. It is. You know, it is, again, what comes out of our mouth. What is it that we say and then act towards others? And, you know, character does matter, even though we see, you know, there have been congressmen, I think mostly men, who have done some kind of act that now their party says, you know, you can't run for office because you've committed this act against your divorced spouse or against a girlfriend or whatever, that it was a flaw in character. And even when we see people in politics, even when we see, you know, our own president making fun of individuals, making fun of those with handicapping conditions by kind of jerking his body around, or making fun of women by calling them stupid and a pig, you know. You know, we don't do that. That's not how we treat each other. That's not how we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we even teach, you know, we teach our young people. I know we have a very active scouting program at Stout, and I'm always amazed when they stand up on Sunday morning and share their scout pledge, their motto, and their law. Because in their scout law, it says a scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, reverent. And I'm sure there are lots of the boys who don't meet that law all the time. But they are working towards it. Just the way that we are to be working towards what it means to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, and to say that character character, our character, how we are towards others, our character counts. And as the church, we need to be able to show that. Let people see. Let others know of the kindness, the friendliness, the courteousness, the reverentness that occurs within our church congregations.
Absolutely. Well, that was a great discussion, and I know that there is someone listening today whose life is touched by your wise words of hope in Christ and love for us all. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah.
If you were blessed by this program today and want to know more about how you can become part of the Stout Memorial United Methodist family, tune in to Stout Memorial's Facebook Live worship broadcast just after this program at 10:45 a.m. Send an email to stoutmemorial@gmail.com or attend a worship service in person at 8:45 and 10:45 each Sunday morning. This has been Stout for Christ, a radio ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church, Parkersburg, West Virginia.